Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Today's program is brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com. Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network. We are a member-supported nonprofit food radio station. That means that every single thing we do, from broadcasting 35 weekly shows for free, to bringing you exclusive content from sold-out food events across the country, to offering scholarships to high school students, is only possible thanks to the support of our loyal members. And we want you to join the club. Become a member during our 2017 summer drive to get access to sweet swag and pledge your support to the world's only food radio station. Visit heritageradionetwork.org/donate to become a member now.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's June 27th, 2017. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 in the Good Beer Seal in New York City. We've got some great guests joining us today at Heritage Radio Network. I'd like to welcome to the show Steve Pominski. Steve, how are you?
Great. Thanks for having us today.
And where are you from? Tell us everything.
Barrage Brewing Company in Farmingdale, New York. We've been open 3 years, and we are the eclectic beer maker.
That's great. So we got a couple of brewers here from Long Island, and we've got our good buddy
Luke Schmucker from Shaxbury Cider up in Vergennes, Vermont.
Yeah, so we're covering a lot of different bases today. It's kind of right before the 4th of July weekend. We're going to drink a bunch of beers, some ciders. And our good buddy, we haven't had you on in a long time.
What's going on? Mike Descarfino from Barrier Brewing Company, Oceanside, Long Island.
All right, so this is kind of like the pre-4th of July show. We're going to talk about some things. Originally, we're going to talk about Long Island Beer Week, but we got our guys, Shaxbury from Vermont, in too. But then, how was Long Island Beer Week? I mean, for Steve, you guys were a really big part of it at Barrage.
This year it was a last-minute type of thing. We did get it off the ground. We did do a collaboration beer with 11 other breweries. All the proceeds from that beer goes to Craft Cares, which is basically we collect food for underprivileged people. And so far, so good. We've collected, over 5,000 pounds of canned goods for,
It's a unique promotion. So how do you get the beer?
You would have to go to a participating brewery, that has a tasting room. You would bring two cans of food, and you would get one can of beer.
Wow, that's great, man. We I think we tried the collab a couple weeks ago. It was pretty good. Beer Sessions Radio is brought to you by Union Beer Distributors, supply world-class ales and lagers. Check us out at beer_sessions on Twitter and Instagram. This should be a great photo going up by Miss Hillary Fassett in a few minutes. So, and Mike, Barry, what's new? You guys are expanding.
Yeah,
we had some controversies.
We did recently, and not just us, but a few other local New York breweries. We invested a lot of money into a new brewing system, which was Metalcraft Fabricators out of Oregon, and we kind of got screwed along with some of our fellow New York breweries. So, unfortunately, we had about 70% of the brew house already completed, and we got it off their property, and we have another company that's gonna finish it for us. But it's a setback nonetheless. So we're just hopefully going to get that in-house in the next 3 weeks. And, yeah, we're going to jump up. Currently, we're a 5-barrel brewery, and we'll be jumping up to a 20-barrel.
Great. And the first beer we're drinking tonight is from you guys.
Yeah, it's Tanto IPA. It's been one of our biggest hits in the last couple months. It's New England-style IPA, very cloudy, hazy, and it's very I would say it's more on the juicy side, a little bit of a dank backbone to it. And the main hop in this guy is Idaho 007. And yeah, this has been a favorite at the brewery for the past few months.
And I love you guys. We've, you know, we've known you a long time and been buying from you, and it's great to have you on the show.
Thank you.
And then Luke, you know, what brings you down from Vermont? We've seen your cider around for a while, Shaxbury. You've done some collaborations with some Spanish cider makers, and yeah, good to have you on the show.
Thank you. Yeah, the Basque collaboration is one of our favorites with Ainara over at Petrategui. Just full Basque cider. We just bring it in and import it because we love her cider. It's delicious, and it's very different from what we're producing up in Vermont. So one of the things that I really like about what we do is we have the contrast of a wild yeast or native yeast fermented Basque cider. And then we also, the one that I brought today is our Pet Nat. So this is our wild foraged fruit from Vermont, wild native yeast fermented down zero residual sugar, and seeing Basque apples versus Vermont apples with native yeast fermentation to just show what happens in the Basque region with some native yeast fermentation versus what happens up in Vermont, and seeing the contrast of the apples and what's really going on there. So,
wow. Well, everyone, let's make a toast with this Barrier Tinto.
Yeah, let's
India Pale. It's super dank, and the nose is so, like, what is it? It's super fresh beer, isn't it?
Yeah, it was canned yesterday. We were canning a lot of our beers through Ironheart. And, yeah, it's super fresh.
Thanks, brother.
I think it's got a little bit more of a dank bite than most of the New England style. But I think that's what makes it a little more unique.
Great. We're going to do like a pre. We've got some representing Vermont and Long Island. That's two states right there. So we're going to do like 4th of July, you know, preview show. Cheers to America and, you know, our 4th of July. So a big question, you know, question of, you know, AB InBev buying up breweries. Just today I got an announcement that the Brewers Association, who represents the craft breweries, has launched a label, the independent craft beer label. Steve, you want to tell us about that and what it means to you guys as craft brewers?
Actually, we had seen the email earlier today, and I think it's the Brewers Association's way of, because there is a misconception. People think certain beers are craft and they're owned by big, you know, big beer. And I think it's the Brewers Association's way of just letting people know, an easy way. You look at your label. There it is, independent, right on the label. You know it's not owned by a big, you know, big corporation.
Mike, have you guys talked about it at Barrier?
Like he was saying, we got the email recently. I think it was this morning we got it. And, yeah, I think that's really cool. It's gonna discern the difference between what is craft, what's not, and who's still truly independent. Don't get me wrong. There's still some great beers that aren't technically craft or independently owned. That's cool. It is what it is. But a lot of people don't know that it's not independently owned, or it's, you know, bought by a conglomerate, or, you know. So I think it's really good, and, you know, it's kind of like a fighting back in a way.
Yeah, there's a lot of confusion, you know, especially when you go into a supermarket or a large package store. You know, you're looking for something, you want an IPA or something. You know, Steve, tell us more about Barrage. You guys are out on Long Island. Tell us about the community that you're in, you know, the brewery you have, and you know, the tasting room.
Yeah.
Because we want to come out and visit you this summer.
We're located in Farmingdale off of 110 Allen Boulevard behind TJA Auto Body. We're a 7-barrel brewery. We produce a lot of eclectic beers. We pretty much, just to go down a few beers right off the bat, you know, we do a toasted coconut caramel milk stout, a peanut caramel porter, a coffee white chocolate cream ale. So those are the kind of beers you're going to get when you come to our place. We do have IPAs. We do have, you know, red ales and stuff like that, but we really like to push the envelope when it comes to style in beer-wise.
And when did you guys open, and what got you guys started in the first place?
I was a home brewer for over 20 years. A buddy of mine and I would brew at home, and I actually met Evan Klein as he was trying to put Barrier Brewing together. You know, we had several conversations. I would just stop into his place every so often. And I was like, you know, I think this is something I can do. I've been doing it quite a long time. So just to get past the homebrew part of it. I went to Seibel Institute in Chicago. Didn't graduate because when you graduate, you got to go to Germany, and I have a family and a job and all those good things.
I did that, too. I did a two-week course. Yeah. So, I don't have the money to pony up for
yeah.
that.
Yeah, so you know, I did a few of the courses that lead up to being a brewmaster and said, let's open up. And we started in 2012, long haul. We had a lot of problems permit-wise. And actually, this year we celebrated our third year being open in where we are in Farmingdale, and it's been going. You know, it's a great ride. We've met so many great people in the industry, especially on Long Island. Everyone is really looks out for each other, and it. When I mean Long Island, I'm talking Queens and Brooklyn, and we all kind of try to help each other out. We do collaborations. If we might need something, if we right now on Long Island, we have the Brewers Guild, and it's a network of breweries on Long Island. Right now, in Suffolk County alone, not counting the rest of the boroughs, there are 31 breweries out on Long Island. That's a lot of breweries. It's actually the most breweries in any county in New York State as of right now. So you count those, then you count what's in Brooklyn and Queens and all the other boroughs. This little collaboration helps everyone. Hey, I need some of this grain. I don't have enough grain for this batch. And we reach out, and we really help each other. It truly is a community that there are strength in numbers.
Yeah, well, cheers to you guys.
Cheers.
And then, Mike, you guys are in Oceanside, Long
yes.
Island.
Which is practically Queens.
Just practically Queens. But do you guys think of yourselves as being part of Long Island?
Oh, of course.
Take the Long Island Railroad to get there.
Of course, absolutely. We're as Long Island as Barrage is or as the Hamptons are. You know, it's, yeah, just because we're on the border. But, yeah, I mean, most of our business when we started back in 2010 was, you know, and for the first couple of years was Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan. And then as, you know, the bigger we got, yes, we could finally provide the island. You never want to short your home market. But, no, yeah, we're Long Island strong through and through.
And what's going on at the tasting room these days?
Yeah, we got a nice tasting room. We got 10 taps on at all times. We got a food truck out all the time. We're open Wednesday through Sunday. We're a couple stops to Long Beach off the LIRR. So if you want to make a beach day out of it, hey, kill two birds with one stone. It's a nice little trip.
If our listeners don't know about Barry, whenever they first started, you know, 6-7 years ago?
7 years ago this month.
The first year when you guys were just like a one-barrel system.
We were one barrel for 1 year.
At the Tap New York event, they won Best Brewery in New York as the smallest brewery at the time. And to me, that was a tipping point. It was just the beginning of all these new breweries rolling out. And you guys were there in the beginning, and Evan used to come, and I was getting 2 kegs a week from you guys forever. So love you guys, and what's the next beer we're drinking? This is so much fun today. It's 4th of July. We got the special freshly canned, you know, Barry beers that nobody can get in America.
The next beer we have
except
here
for us on
is a collaboration we did with Inner Barrel in Brooklyn, our good friend Jesse. So it is called Money Mad Fat. It's a double dry hopped IPA with lupulin powder, and there's a bunch of nice sexy hops in there, Mosaic, Simcoe. Got Mosaic lupulin powder, Equinaut. So it's one of our
it's
new
sexy,
bad boys.
It's fat.
it is
it's
sexy.
Juicy.
It's sexy, juicy. What all the kids want these days.
Yeah.
That's a good thing Barrage is out there because now they can actually make beer that people want to try, other than, you know, the same tasting beers, which I think a lot of breweries are now falling into where it's like, oh, we gotta make the next best juicy IPA. And they're all great. You know, I'm not shit talking at any one of them. I haven't had a bad one. But you know, it's nice to have a little diversity.
Well, one beer that you've changed recently, your Green Room Pale Ale, it now it's dry hopped, and that's one of my go-to beers.
Yeah, it originally was more of like a Sierra Nevada Pale Ale style Pale Ale, but we've changed it up a little bit. But it's a little more throwbacky in my opinion, where it's got that dank backbone to it as opposed to being juicy, but it's more like citrus and dank with a little bit of grapefruit, and we dry hop that with Centennial, Columbus, and Comet.
You know, words like juicy and dank, I mean, you know, we got a cider guy here and other brewery people. I mean, what is juicy and what is dank when you talk about beer?
Well, how I equate it is dank is more of a throwback, like piney, West Coast style, almost like a pot smell to it and taste. Juicy is more like low IBUs, very low bitterness. And if you can combine the two, you get the best of both worlds. My opinion.
And your buddy came in, so introduce yourself. This is a beer scene guy.
Hi, Jacob Cheddar. I am a bartender. I work with Grand Army Bar, back up at Proletariat, and at Boilermaker.
Okay, so you're sitting there nodding your head, so I'm sure you know a lot about Barrier.
Oh, just a couple of things about it.
Yeah. What about Dank and Juicy?
Oh, my God. You know, I remember the first time I ever had Barrier money. Like, Mike had actually brought in a keg that had been tapped like a day prior. It was just so fresh, so juicy. The Aromax on it were absolutely ridiculous. You know, I felt like I was getting smoked up, honestly, in regards to how dank that was. If my grandma's listening to this, I'm assuming it's barbecue related.
Your grandmother probably is listening, man. You're that kind of guy. You're a good guy.
Amen to that.
But welcome to the show. That's our other guest, here. Our secret guest. And, you know, Luke, we're going to talk more about cider, too. You know, but what are these words to you? I mean, you've got dank, you've got juicy, but you're working with, Spanish, cedra makers. What vocabulary do they use describing their sour and funky ciders?
It was funny when we came out with Arlo, which is a blend of Basque fruit and Vermont fruit. It's native yeast fermented can conditioned cider. We went back and forth, and a lot of the flavor characteristics that you pull out of that, we usually put a short description on the back of the can, and internally when we were talking about it, it's musty grapefruit peel and salinity. And we were thinking to ourselves, like, this is what I want to hear. And if I saw this on the back of a can, I would 100% buy it, but didn't know how it would translate to people that were just starting to get into cider. So we just ended up putting funky fresh on the back because it was like, there's this freshness from the apple side. And then there's also that funky, musty grapefruit peel that you get from this native yeast fermented Basque cider. So the other thing that we always joke around about at Shaxbury, being up in Vermont, is if this whole apple thing doesn't work out, we're just going to make some juicy canned IPAs and just start abandon the whole apple thing, just start selling cans out of the back gate and let people come in and line up for them. So
at the Shaxbury Shack.
at the Shack.
Well, hey, we're off to a good start here. We got everybody introduced, and I'm talking more about 4th of July and beer on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Heritage Foods USA is a farm-to-table online butcher and founding sponsor of Heritage Radio Network.
Heritage Foods got its start when Patrick Martin's first stepped foot onto Frank Reese's Kansas farm in 2001. Back then, Frank was the only farmer in America raising true heritage turkeys with recorded lineages tracing back more than 150 years.
Patrick knew instantly he'd found a unique moment, an opportunity to go beyond acknowledging these breeds as being jeopardized and to actually do something to save them. Patrick asked Frank to ramp up production and made a promise to him that if he would raise them, Heritage Foods USA would sell them.
That was the moment that Heritage Foods' slogan, "Eat them to save them," was born. By creating a market for delicious meats from heritage breeds, we can ensure they'll be around for generations to come.
Plus, heritage breeds just taste a whole lot better. Learn more at heritagefoodsusa.com and use the code HERITAGERADIO for 2 free pork chops with your first order, brother.
Hi, I'm Harry Rosenblum, host of Feast Your Ears here on Heritage Radio Network. My show is about people, life, and food. Tune in on Wednesdays at 1 o'clock to hear me talk with people from all walks of life. I interview artists, writers, healers, chefs, and much more. Support my show and all of Heritage Radio Network's programming. Go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the beating heart to donate. Your donations help keep us operating.
That was a great ad from Heritage Foods USA, the founders of Heritage Radio Network. So we're having a great show here. We're talking about Long Island beers, Barrier Barrage, Shaxbury Cider from Vermont, and a guy snuck in from one of the local bars around here. If you're ever in the neighborhood, if Tuesday's 5 o'clock at Roberta's Bar, Roberta's Pizza, you can come in and sit in with us too, just like this guy did. What's your name again?
Jacob Cheddar of Grand Army Bar, Proletariat.
Jacob Cheddar.
Cheddar. Right.
So talk about Vermont. So you're also here. There's the Fancy Food Show, which we had some passes to for Heritage Radio Network, and I checked it out. But the whole Vermont section is huge. But you know, who was there? Some of your friends were there that we should know about.
Yeah.
Cheesemakers, and I know Prohibition Pig was down.
Yeah. When you think about Vermont from an outsider's perspective, you think about cider, cheese, and maple. And when you go to an event like Fancy Food, you visually see all the amazing cheese that's coming down. My friend Christy over at Springbrook gave us some cheese to bring into the studio. And when you hang out with Vermont cheese people and you say, "Oh, yeah, I'll take a little bit of cheese to bring into the studio," they give you probably about a pound and a half worth of cheese to end up bringing in. So it's definitely a great community to be a part of. There's a lot of trading that goes on up in the Vermont community between cider producers, cheese producers, the gin producers with Stonecutter and Bar Hill, Caledonia Spirits. Whistle Pig Whiskey's barn is right next to Colin's parents' barn, so it's a good connection to have. We've been doing a lot of barrel aging and gin and whiskey barrels because of the availability to have it from our neighbors.
Well, that's great, and give a shout-out. The first week of August, Beer Sessions Radio will be up there in Vermont, and you're going to be one of our co-hosts. I don't think you know that, but...
I can't wait. We've been trying to get you to come up to Vermont for a long time, so it'll be great to have you up there, and I know that there's a lot of people that are very excited to have Heritage Radio come up and hang out up in Vermont.
Cheers. So now we're tasting a barrage. What's this called? It's
called Try and Try, and the name behind it is, as with all our other beers, there's a meaning behind everything. So many people kept telling us, why don't you do a New England-style hazy IPA? Why don't you try doing it? Try it. Just try. So we did. It's Mosaic Simcoe, and you know, it's that cross between that mango and cat pee type of... And it came out well. We made a lot of people happy about it. That's actually one of our first beers we're going to be canning in the next month. And, you know, it was something, not that we didn't want to do, but because of everything else that we do, I like to brew what I like to drink, what I want to drink at that moment. And I like different. I like funky. I like eclectic. I want to taste all these different nuances in a beer. Not that there's not a lot of nuances in this, but I want substance behind something. And I'm a dark beer drinker. That's just back when I was younger, drinking porters and stouts. That's my forte. That's what I look for. So we're pretty much a lot of our beers are dark based. But we do, you know, a bunch of New England style now, and they're coming out well, and I'm very happy with them. So that's what we got right now.
Steve, I know Barrage and Barrier both on Long Island, different parts of Long Island.
Yes.
Do people ever get confused between the two names?
Well, just a tad. Just the, you know, it's the B-A-R-R, and they never look past that. And, you know, we've had people come in and ask us for Money IPA. I wish we had Money IPA because that'd be awesome. And it's an awesome beer, but we don't make that beer. And I've actually talked to a couple of the tasting room staff over Barrier, and they're like, yeah, bro, people come in and they're like, oh, you don't have yada, yada, yada on? Well, that's one of the beers that we make that, and no, that's the wrong brewery. So, you know, maybe down the road, you know, yeah, maybe we'll do a little collaboration.
Well, let's talk about the Long Island collaboration, because you guys are all so close out there. You guys had a collaboration for Long Island Beer Week. I tasted it. I mean, you had like Greenport Harbor, Blue Point, a lot of other breweries involved.
Yes, it was a total of 11 breweries involved. It's the third year that we've actually done it. This year's was an Irish Red, a multi-Irish Red. And it's something we want to continue to see growing. And again, it helps the less fortunate people on the island, which, you know, we all, every single day we go about our day and not think about people that, hey, well, you know, somebody might not have something to eat tonight. You know, it's very easy to forget that, but there are thousands of people on Long Island, New York, that don't have something to eat that night. So by doing this is our way of giving back to the community. And through beer. And we're also trying to educate people. You know, we try to do a beer that is, the first year we did a Kentucky Common, second year was a really light IPA, and this year was a Red Ale, trying to get people that during Craft Beer Week, maybe are not into craft beer, try something that they might not by having them, you know, donate to a good cause.
Yeah. Let's talk more about collaboration. So, for that beer, where did you guys make the beer?
We actually brewed it at Blue Point Brewing Company in Patchogue. We brewed it, and then we transferred it over to Great South Bay in Bayshore, where we actually canned the beer. And then it was distributed through out Long Island, through most of the tasting rooms, and through certain venues, you know, restaurants and bars. Even some homebrew shops had the beer on tap, in can, that people could bring in cans of you know, goods to get the cans.
Yeah. And then for Luke, you know, Shaxbury, you guys are collaborating with you know, Spanish cidery. How does that work?
We do a lot of collaborations at Shaxbury. We take a lot of influence from European ciders. We have two orchards that we work with. We have Petrategui over in the Basque region of Spain, and then we have Dragon Orchard, which is in Herefordshire in UK. So UK apples are really high tannin, where Basque ciders have more of that salinity, acidity aspect to it. Even beyond that, with our wild Vermont yeast, we've been working on a couple different collaborations. We were at the Festival of Funk in San Diego and gave those guys some juice to play around with and put in barrel for modern times. So working on doing a graft and some stuff on the East Coast as well. So being that interesting middleman in the cider world and pulling from cider, natural wine, and, you know, farmhouse ales, sours, things like that, we like to go back and forth and collaborate with people in all different aspects.
And you're also really just getting started, aren't you?
Definitely. We launched in 2013. As opposed to a lot of other people, we're finally going to be opening up our tasting room. We're renovating an old creamery up in Vergennes. We're moving away from multiple different places. If about 6 months or a year ago, if you were to look at Google Maps, the actual location for Shaxbury was Colin's parents' barn. So regularly on the weekend in Vermont, people would show up at Colin's parents' barn and knock on the door and try to get some tasting of Shaxbury cider, but wasn't going to end up happening. So it's great to actually have a place to people come up, hang out up in Vermont, taste through our ciders and see what we're all about.
Then, so in Vermont, you have that connection because Colin's family has a farm. So
yeah, Colin actually has a herd of Highland cattle that hang out up in Vermont. So they're the big, hairy, dark brown cattle, and we have that. David and Colin, the two people that started it and then pulled me in, both went to Middlebury College. So they went to school in Middlebury, wanted to stick around. David worked at Sunrise Orchard, who's our orchard partner up in Vermont. So we have a pretty deep connection with Vermont and love to be able to bring people up and kind of add to that community a little bit more.
You know, on that note, right now it's the Heritage Radio Network Summer Member Drive. There's bidding going on, online bidding to raise money for the network. And you guys donated a very cool package.
Yeah, we actually donated a trip up to Vermont to hang out and stay at Sunrise Orchard in the farmhouse on the property. We were actually going to take people out foraging for wild apples, which is what we do for a lot of our apples. Go out in the woods, shake some trees with tarps underneath them, put them to work a little bit, and then reward them by taking them out and going to see a goat cheese producer and getting that full Vermont experience, but from an inside angle as opposed to going up as a tourist. So, yeah, great. We're excited about it.
And you said you're also talking about making a collaboration with Threes Brewing?
I was down hanging out with Greg yesterday down at Threes and playing out with a couple different blends. I've always been a fan of their pills, and Greg and I...
Are you going to make a cider beer?
We were looking at some graph options and things like that where it's a blend of beer and cider, and we're playing around with a couple of different ideas to see how it could actually work out. Greg and me, David, Colin, everyone over at Shaxbury, we love our products, and we're looking at the best way of combining those without losing the integrity and, like, putting out something that we're super excited about. So we're getting there. I think that we're definitely closer, and their beers are great, too, as all of these beers that I've been tasting through as we've been hanging out here are. So
great. Cheers to that, man.
Cheers again.
And then, Steve, this is a nice, like, a dark beer. So your heart's in dark beers at Barrage. I like this dark beer. What is it?
this is Tribal Cow, toasted coconut, caramel milk stout. One of the things at Barrage that we pride ourselves on, if it's on the label, if it's on our board, you're going to taste it. Toasted coconut, caramel. It's a milk stout. It's roasty. It has all the notes there. If we say something's in it, you're tasting it, but it's not overdone. And that's one of the things we pride ourselves on, is just using a lot of different adjuncts that are well-balanced together to make a very well-balanced beer.
So, our gate crasher, what do you think of this beer?
Honestly,
this guy just came in. He was hanging out at Roberta's bar. He bartends.
I saw him in the bushes.
I'm blaming this one on Mike.
It's okay.
Honestly, the nose on this is amazing. You get definitely get the coconut, the caramel. When I first smell this, I got like a hint of hazelnut, and honestly, it made me think of caramel corn.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. It is absolutely fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And what's your brewing process like? What size system do you have? And
we started out just like Barrier. We started on a one barrel system for about a year and a half, just brewing our asses off. You know, it was every day we had 11 little tiny fermenters, one barrel fermenters, and we just blew through them. And then finally, we wound up getting a seven barrel system with a bunch of 14 barrel fermenters. And again, I kind of brew what I want to brew. It's, I could care less about the season. This beer is actually on all year round, 12 months a year. It's on in the tasting room. People ask for it. Same thing with our other beer, yada, yada, yada. On all year round. And it's a dark beer. If it works.
Do you make a beer with peanut butter?
That's the one.
That's the yada, yada, yada.
That's the yada, yada, yada. We have actually had it on at Jimmy's.
Did you ever think about making an imperial version of this?
Yes. And we've actually thought of putting it in like bourbon barrels or rum barrels.
Yeah, that would be quite the treat.
Well, what would you do to make this into an imperial version? How would you change the recipe?
Well, obviously, we probably have to double the grain bill on it, and maybe do a 2 hour boil instead of an hour boil on it, and ramp it up. Right now, it's 6.8, so we could easily get it up to 9 or 10.
It drinks like it's
4%.
Yeah,
I mean, I really can't stop drinking. Luke's over there.
It's delicious.
Luke's like, I talk cider, but I drink beer.
I just came here to drink the beer and hang out with you, Jimmy. So
this guy,
why I'm
Mr.
Here.
Smart Man. What's your name, Mr. Cheddar?
Cheddar.
Yeah. And Mike, any insights? So we're actually the third segment. We're going to get a little more serious and talk about some challenges in the industry, supply chain, and all that stuff.
Sure.
But about collaborations. Let's say Barrier and Barrage, were to do a collaboration.
Yeah.
What would you call it?
What was the name I threw out before? I forgot. I said something funny at the bar.
Yes,
I completely forgot.
It was funny, but I didn't write it down.
It would be a playoff of probably how confused both of our breweries are on the island, that people confuse our respective breweries. It'll probably be a playoff of that.
Yeah, but Long Island's pretty big. It's about over 100 miles long.
Sure.
But there's not that many people on it. And when I go out this weekend for 4th of July, I'm going out to North Fork, visiting with friends. And when I'm out there, I don't really see that many. I mean, my buddies Greenport Harbor are there, represented in the stores. In Riverhead, there's Mustache. But I don't really see that many Long Island breweries represented when I'm out and about.
I think what it comes down to, certain like Montauk is, they have their beer everywhere. They've been canning their beer almost from day one. Which is great because who's going out to Montauk during the winter? So they were able to get their beer out and get it, west. Same thing, Long Island. Long Island started out with one beer, and they pushed it everywhere, and that was great for them. But there's so many smaller breweries, as like ourselves. Right now, we just basically keg our beer. We're getting into the canning and bottling. I think that's the threshold that the majority of breweries need to do, invest in maybe a can, at least one, or a bottle. And that definitely gets your face out there and people know it. And you can put it anywhere. You really can. And it also goes with distributorship. Not every brewery, a good majority of breweries on Long Island are independent as of right now. There's probably a handful that are with a signed distributorship. So that's also another bigger thing.
Great. All right, we're going to take another short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Assassins Radio. All right.
I don't go in for understanding when you are away. Can't use my heart to think away the time. In my room I will await you, and so soon I will relate you. And tie your finger right on up to mine. Sweet Josephine, you live in my dream. Sleep right by my side. I bid you well forever, my belle.
this all the time. I can't prepare my heart for joy sublime.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Hey, it's heritageradionetwork.org summer drive, and Luke from Shaxbury's donated a special Vermont package, and thanks again, Luke. You know, you can go online and bid for that. What is it? Shaxbury Weekend Vermont.
Weekend for two up in Vermont. It's two nights up at the Orchard and hanging out with us, foraging for apples, eating good cheese.
And you got those, what, weird long-haired cows up there?
Yeah, got some long-haired cows. There'll probably be some hippie jam band music. I don't know. Meet and greet with Bernie.
That's
Vermont,
it.
Vermont stuff.
That's it.
I don't know.
HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Bid for the summer drive. All right. So we had some fun. We covered, Steve from Barrage is here, Mike from Barrier, this guy off the street, bartender, and Luke. So let's talk about some challenges. Now we get a little deeper. You know, challenges of the supply chain, you know, whether it's materials or equipment. You know, Mike, you guys mentioned earlier, I heard about this, the Metalcraft fabricator kind of went out of business. Mm-hmm. Not only you guys, but Grimm also, you guys got stuck.
Yeah, we got stuck.
You're expanding your brewery, you're getting a new brewing system.
A new brew house, which is, you know, everything from start to finish. Luckily, we bought the tanks from a different manufacturer, and they came in long before. But we got screwed. They got about 65-70% of the brew house fabricated, so we were able to take it off of the property, and we have another company that's going to finish it for us. Same thing with Grimm; they had a little less finished, so they were in a little more of a bind than we were. But nonetheless, we still got screwed by these guys, and that's why Grimm and Barrier were doing a collab, and we're gonna do it. Each of us do an IPA, and we're going to can it, and then hopefully the proceeds can go help us, you know, towards us finishing our respective brew houses.
Yeah. And was that anything in particular, or was it just that one company went out of business?
It was Metalcraft MCF. They went out of business. It was very poor handling of their funds. I don't know, you know, obviously too much. I know what I've been told, so, you know, what I hear. But, it's just not handling his funds correctly, and there was a lot of other breweries. Like I said, there's a couple other very reputable New York breweries that got screwed over too. I don't want to say anything, you know, that's not my place, but there was a number of breweries that got screwed over by these guys, and yeah, there's nothing you can do.
And Barry, you guys have been through so much. I mean, you started with a one barrel system. Mm-hmm. You guys expanded, and then there was Hurricane Sandy.
We were shut down for a long time.
That was the first time that Long Island breweries rallied around you guys.
Yeah, well, what Steve was saying about how tight-knit the community is in Long Island, a lot of the breweries came together. We brewed a beer at, I believe it was Blue Point, and it was called Surge Protector, and a lot of the proceeds came back to us to help us rebuild and get back on our feet, which was huge. Alma Gang helped us out big time. We owe a lot of debt to them. They're great guys.
You guys been through a lot. And the other question for Steve, too, like, you know, for supply chain issues, you know, Is that common now? Is there too much demand for brewing systems, for example? They hear there's too much demand for hops. Is there too much demand for brewing systems for new breweries or expanding breweries?
When we got our new system, we got it from Premier Stainless. It took us 7 months before we saw one tank come to us. And, you know, it's depending on where you go and what you get, you know, there are companies out there, and I'm guessing now Metalcraft is one of them, where, you know, they had a good product, but they just didn't manage their monies correctly. There are some really good companies out there, but with the demand that is going on right now, the smaller systems are so hard to come by. The larger systems, a little bit more. I know Evil Twin is getting a new system. I think it's going in from Premier Stainless. So Premier Stainless is one of the better known, and they, when they tell you when you're going to get your equipment, you're going to get it, which we were very happy with our equipment we got from them. But going for kegs are a whole nother cooperage. Good luck. It is so hard to get cooperage nowadays.
And I've also heard that cans are hard to get now too. So there's a lot of supply issues.
Yes, yes. Depending on who you go with, you know, there's a minimum. And, you know, if you have space to store the minimum, that's great. If you don't, you might be a little screwed.
Mike, you guys just canned today,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yesterday.
How do you guys set that up? You have to contract out?
Yeah, we work with Metalcraft. We've never had any problems with those. They're great guys. I think we do a great job. But the minimum for them to come out, I believe, is 30 barrels. And so that's what we've been doing. We've been doing a little more lately. But, yeah, there's some houses who can't do that, who can't do 30 barrels. They can only do 5 or 10 or 20. And a lot of companies won't come out. But there are some that will. There are some of the new canners that will come out no matter what you can do.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like Steve was saying, so it's just a housing issue.
And then for Luke, for you, you know, Shaxbury, what are your big issues? What? Access to apples?
You got it.
Cooperage?
Apples. I mean, the main thing that we deal with in the United States is the lack of cider fruit. And when you think about the cider that we're drinking right now, the Pet Nat, that's all wild foraged apples. So that's
the, great. I love it.
Yeah.
You know, the funny thing is, we were just drinking some, you know, hop really and a awesome dark beer, and my palate's ready for it. It's
a little refresher. It's something to go back to. And for us, this is all wild foraged fruit. So it's not orchard fruit. It's us going out in the woods, shaking trees with tarps underneath them, and collecting apples, pressing it, native yeast fermentation in a barn in Vermont. So it's slow, it's cool fermentation. But beyond the wild apples in Vermont, we have a ton of apples in Vermont. They grow like weeds, but 99% of them are culinary fruit. So they're going to give you 67% alcohol. They're going
to say dessert fruit.
Yeah, dessert fruit, culinary fruit, supermarket fruit. It's the way that we think about it is when you taste something like this and it has tannin, it has acidity, like you can see the color to it. We would love to have more of that, and we're propagating. There's actually a couple of wild apple trees that we're actually propagating over at Sunrise Orchard, but like everything in the cider industry, you're looking at short side 3 to 5 years to get fruit. So it's not a very quick turnaround where you can just be like, oh, we want a ton of cider apples now, let's just go out and buy them. They're just not there. You have to grow them. It takes time. So it's sounds like a lot of the same issues that the beer industry is dealing with hops.
So earlier you were talking about, you mentioned a New York cider maker that you look up to.
Yes.
You listen to some, he's been on
Andy
Sessions Radio. Andy Brennan, Aaron Burr.
Yes, Aaron Burr Ciders. He is a character. I was, one of the things, the quotes that stands out in my head is when I heard Andy say something along the lines of, I don't know if I can say it on the radio, I can say it. All right. So it was, we just try to get the best fruit possible and not fuck it up. And I was like, yes, exactly. Like, that's the point. Like, start with good fruit, shepherd it through the process. Don't try too hard to change anything or override it. Just start with a good product, shepherd it through the process, and put it out and really give it that sense of it being what it's supposed to be.
It's too bad our gate crashes. Grandmother's listening, but he doesn't know who you are, Luke.
Sorry, Grandma.
And then for Mike, for you, like, is there a brewer or brewery that you really look up to outside of Barry? And you collaborate with a lot of breweries.
I think it's all New York breweries. I think we just got to stick together, stand together. It's really us that's going to fight any conglomerate that's going to come in or any sort of disaster or whatever that comes about. If we all stick together, which we have in the past, and it's shown through a lot of circumstances, I would just say I look up to every New York brewery that's old, that's new, that wants to start.
Great. And then one more time, the collaboration beer, so that your Money Fat Fluid with Innerbro. Tell us about working with Jesse Ferguson.
We've known Jesse forever, since when I was I was an intern at Six Point back in 2009, 2010. Jesse used to come by and drop off home brews. Then he went with Carton and was the head brewer at Carton for a while. And then he went to Other Half. Now he opened up Innerbro. So we've known Jesse for as long as our brewing, you know, almost our brewing careers. We love him. Great guy. We're all on the same page. So it took a little longer than it should have to come together. But that's on Jesse, not on us.
And at Barrett, do you have a head brewer, or is it a team brewing?
Oh, yeah. We have a head brewer. Kevin is our brew house manager. He's our head brewer. He's been there. He came from Great South Bay, came over to us. We have three awesome brewers. Evan is... He still gets in the brew deck every once in a while. He makes a point just to keep his blade sharp. But he's doing a lot of the administrative stuff now.
Well, cheers to you guys, man. Still one of my favorite beers. And I pretty much always have it, Barry Brewing, at Jimmy's number 43.
So. Cheers, brother.
And we're looking up to July Good Beer Month and definitely celebrating some of our favorite breweries, including Barry Brewing. So, Steve, Barrage, for you, are there other breweries or brewers or pioneers in the craft beer industry that you really look up to, that you want to give a shout-out to?
You know, just like Mike said, Long Island in itself and in New York brewers, I've gotten help from when we were trying to open up from at least a dozen different breweries. And, you know, some of them being Evan from Barrier, Greg and Dan from Long Ireland, Paul from Blind Bat, you know, just answered any question that I had when we were trying to open up. And, you know, the key thing was not so much how to brew beer. It was paperwork, you know, paperwork for the government, paperwork for the state, paperwork for our towns. And those guys, you know, were so instrumental in getting us started. And they were so willing. That was the really shocking thing when I got into the industry. It was just, hey, this is what I know. I'm going to try to give you what I can. And I've done the same thing. You know, I've had other breweries that have come to me that are now open, and they ask me questions, and I try to answer them. If I can't answer them, I'll push them to someone else that can. So it really, truly is a community that looks out for each other.
And then Gatecrasher here. So you're working at Grand Army Bar, one of our favorites, and Proletariat. What are a couple you know, breweries right now or beers that you're really digging?
Well, we've honestly, one of my favorite ones right now is Three Floyds. I'm totally blanking right now. Come back to me on this.
All right. Well, he got you in, man. He snuck through the gate and we got him on the show.
I think I knew which one it is, too.
Yeah. Oh, why am I'm blanking. I'm from Wisconsin, and so we used to go down to Three Floyds when we were...
Oh, is it the Zombie Dust?
Zombie Dust. Oh,
zombie Dust. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Today I had a great a dark coconut. Say your beer one more time. That was a good one.
That was Tribal Cow, toasted coconut caramel milk.
Great. And Mike, again, one more time, what was the first one we had?
We drank Tanto, which was the first one, and then the second one was Money Mad Fat, collaboration with Interboro.
Luke?
Shaxbury Pet Nat.
That was great, too. Cut through my palate and everything. It was great. Nice. Well, and big shout-out, it's coming up July Good Beer Month. July is a few days away. Back in 2009, we co-founded it with other, you know, local beer bar owners. As a result of that, Mayor Bloomberg issued a proclamation for 5 years that New York City, July is Good Beer Month. That was huge for the industry back when it was more about beer bars and there were just a few breweries opening up. And we co-created the Edible Magazine Good Beer event. That's coming up July 20th. We'll be there this year celebrating full out our ninth year, and many of the Good Beer Seal bars in the whole metro region will be there, and we're giving out Good Beer Seal awards. So if you're interested in learning about some of the best beer bars in New York area, come to Edible's Good Beer event July 20th. And I'd like to thank our sponsor at Union Beer Distributors who helped bring this podcast to you tonight. I guess everyone say your names one more time because this is a crazy list.
Luke from Shaxbury Cider in Bergens, Vermont.
Steve Paminski, Barrage Brewing Company, Farmingdale, New York.
Mike Descarfino, Barrier Brewing Company, Oceanside, New York.
And the Gatecrasher.
Jacob Cheddar, Grand Army, Proletariat, right. Boilermaker.
I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producer, Justin Kennedy, intern Hillary Fassin, our engineer tonight, Vitor. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Happy 4th of July, kids.
Yeah. Woo!
Fireworks, baby! Woo! Yes!
Cheers!
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.